Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday morning, September 17th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, Bald Avenger. I'm your host out here in the arid desert of sunny Arizona. Definitely have to indicate, have to let you know this morning. Wow, 63 degrees when the dogs got me up at 5:30 this morning. Very much opened that, went downstairs, let them out and opened all the windows and then just laid in the recliner and enjoyed that for about an hour and a half. And before I even made my coffee, it was just so nice to enjoy that and close my eyes and take in that nice cool air. These are, I think I may have told you that. I know I mentioned it to my daughter-in-law, but one of my favorite times out here in the desert is the spring and the fall as the temperatures drop off. Because that cool time, even the dark time and the peace and the quiet, and just a breeze going is the best time out here in the desert because it's so clean. I mean, the air feels so clean, especially as we're getting after monsoon. It's taking a lot of the dust and the pollen floating around. It's taking it out of the air. So it's just amazing. I mean, you do that and you look up at these 9,000-10,000 foot mountains around the valley and you sit there and you're like, you can't help but ask the question, how could you not believe in God? I mean, it's definitely natural revelation. You look around out here and you're just amazed. And while I wasn't born out here, we moved out here when I was six. And I left for, 6, 7 years? Something like that. No, I left for longer. I left for about 10 years in the Navy. And then when we got out of the Navy, my wife and I were living somewhere else. And then came back. But I've spent most of my life out here. And it just, wow. Just amazing out here. You cannot help but look around you, especially at these times of year, spring and fall. And no, even though we don't get the color changes, and I do miss color changes, I love the color changes of the fall, but you look around here and you're just like, wow. And of course, if you want to see the color change out here, you just head up into the mountains because you're going to see it. So anyway, so I'm rambling a little bit, but just wanted to let y'all know that and touch base with you. I hope you've had a great week. We've now hit the weekend, and obviously, you know, today being Saturday, tomorrow is the day of worship, though some churches have the service tonight. So whichever your churches around you have, please find a solid one and go attend with believers. It is critical that we meet with believers. You know, I realize people with physical issues and stuff maybe can't, and they have to do it online in some way, shape, or form. They have to stream services. I understand that. I'm sorry that that's the case, and I pray for you, and I hope that that helps to edify and equip you. But for the rest of us, we not only is it necessary for us, but God calls us to do it, that we get together and we assemble as the body of Christ. We assemble physically as the body of Christ, even with everything that happened with COVID and everything else. You've got to get together. Please get together. I beg you to get together. So, okay. So I'm going to move on from that. But anyway, so this podcast, as my buddy Gene Clyde always says, this podcast is definitely focused on the public reading of the Word of God. And every once in a while, my own thoughts on issues, though I tend not to do real long diatribes, which is, for anybody that knows me, is surprising because I tend to not be able to stop talking. Maybe that's why I'm doing this podcast in the first place. It gives me a chance to talk and nobody interrupt me. Never really thought of that before. That just kind of hit me. Maybe that's why. So, but again, the public reading, the reason I do this really isn't so that people hear me. It's so that people hear God, so that people hear God's word, so that they hear what God wrote to us. And that's true of the prayers and the devotions that I bring you, because those are from men of God. Those are from men that God used to put out and explain his word throughout history. And that's why I do them. So let's go ahead and get started. So again, like as is our practice, we're going to start with three of our prayers from the Valley of Vision. The first two, as usual, are resting on God and grace and trial. So let's get going with resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I'm sinful, even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. All right, take a sip of coffee here. And again, I'm very happy to have gotten my Black Rifle just decaf. It has made me very, very happy. All right, Seventh Day Morning, God's Good Pleasure. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. Sorry, don't know what's up with the frog in my throat. All right, and now our devotion for this morning. This is obviously this morning, September 17th, article for Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And the scripture for today is Mark 9:19. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Despairingly, the poor disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. His son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed, but the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one when the parent in faith obeyed the Lord Jesus' word, Bring him unto me. Children are a precious gift from God, but much anxiety comes with them. They may be a great joy or a great bitterness to their parents. They may be filled with the Spirit of God or possessed with the spirit of evil. In all cases, the Word of God gives us one receipt for the curing of all their ills. Bring him unto me. Oh, for more agonizing prayer on their behalf while they are yet babes. Sin is there. Let our prayers begin to attack it. Our cries for our offspring should precede those cries which betoken their actual advent into a world of sin. In the days of their youth, we shall see sad tokens of that dumb and deaf spirit, which will neither pray aright nor hear the voice of God in the soul. But Jesus still commands, Bring them unto me. When they are grown up, they may wallow in sin and foam with enmity against God. Then, when our hearts are breaking, we should remember the great physician's words, Bring them unto me. Never must we cease to pray until they cease to breathe. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. The Lord sometimes suffers his people to be driven into a corner that they may experimentally know how necessary he is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength, and this is a great blessing to us. Whatever our morning's need may be, let it, like a strong current, bear us to the ocean of divine love. Jesus can soon remove our sorrow. He delights to comfort us. Let us hasten to him while he waits to meet us. All right. 2 Samuel 13. And excuse me, I'm adjusting my seat a little bit here. All right. So 2 Samuel 13. And here's where we see, if you remember, in our Samuel from yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the whole Bathsheba thing, actually it was yesterday and the day before, the whole Bathsheba thing, and that due to David's unlawfulness, both with being with Bathsheba and then and knowing her, in the biblical sense of knowing her, and then what he did to Uriah the Hittite, that not only did they lose their children, their child, the one that was conceived during that, but God also indicated to David that rebellion would come up from his own children. And here's where we're going to start to see his own children start to behave in a way that is not guided by God. You know, God had always said of David, even when David messed up, that David was a man after his own heart. And when David messed up, David repented. I mean, that's what he meant, is David would turn and repent. He, in true repentance, not just, oh, I got caught, or, oh, something bad's happening, but, oh, I did terribly. And even in the case of when he had done it, when he set the census, when he shouldn't have, and even Joab, who is anything but a great guy, tried to tell him, no, don't do that. And he wanted to do it anyways, that it brought down wrath upon Israel. And David realized that it was his fault and told God, please bring it upon me instead. But here it is. Here's where it's going to start showing up. So 2 Samuel. So just as a clue in 2 Samuel, verse 13 or chapter 13. Now it happened afterwards that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon, was so distressed because of his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin. So it was hard in Amnon's sight to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very shrewd man. And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so depressed morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Then Amnon said to him, I am in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom. By the way, yeah, he's not in love, he's in lust. As becomes obvious. So, verse 5. Jonadab then said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill, and your father will come to see you. And you will say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me some food to eat, and let her prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat from her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill, and the king came to see him. And Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. Then David sent to the house for Tamar, saying, go now to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. And she took dough, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and dished them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. So Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom to her brother Amnon. Then she brought them near to him to eat. But he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. But she said to him, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you will be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. So now please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. But he was not willing to listen to her voice. Now he was stronger than she, so he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred. For the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get up, go away. But she said to him, no, because this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you have done to me. But he was not willing to listen to her. Then he called his young man who attended him and said, now cast this woman out of my presence and lock the door behind her. Now she had on a long-sleeved garment, for in this manner the virgin daughters of the king dressed themselves in robes. Then his attendant took her out and locked the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her long-sleeved garment which was on her, and she put her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. So Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon your brother been with you? But now keep silent, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart. So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now when King David heard of all these matters, he was very angry. But Absalom did not speak to Amnon either good or bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. Now it happened after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. Just a minute, I'm going to grab some coffee. All right, starting back up in verse 24, 2 Samuel 13, verse 24. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold now, Your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant. But the king said to Absalom, No, my son, we should not all go, for we will be burdensome to you. Although he urged him, he was not willing to go, but blessed him. Then Absalom said, If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said to him, Why should he go with you? But Absalom urged him, so he sent Amnon and all the king's sons with him. Then Absalom commanded his young men, saying, See now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, Strike Amnon, then put him to death. Do not fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be strong and be valiant. Thus the young men of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. Now it was while they were on the way that the report came to David, saying, Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left. Then the king arose, tore his clothes, and lay on the ground, and all his servants were standing by with clothes torn. But Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, Do not let my lord suppose they have put to death all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone has died, because by the intent of Absalom this has been set since the day that he violated his sister Tamar. So now do not let my lord the king take the report to heart, saying, All the king's sons have died, for only Amnon has died. Then Absalom fled, and the young man who was the watchman raised his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road. Behind him by the side of the mountain, from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, Behold, the king's sons have come, according to your servant's word. So it happened. As soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted their voices and wept. And also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. Now Absalom had fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom had fled and gone to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the heart of King David was consumed with going out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he had died. All right, I've finished that chapter. And you see in there, David knew what had happened and didn't do anything. It says he was angry. He was very angry, but he did nothing and let his son get away with it. Had he dealt with Amnon, the rest with Absalom wouldn't have happened. No, Absalom was not a great son either. And obviously you start to see that David was not the best of fathers, though many of us struggle with that. I know we all try to be the best fathers we can be, but we're all going to do some bit of failing at that. I know I have over the years. But, you know, in any number of cases through there, in any number of places through there, had David interacted properly as a father, a lot of this wouldn't have happened. So as much as he was a man after God's own heart, he was a man that failed. He was a man that failed like the rest of us. But that doesn't call into question his salvation. God's very clear. And David is a man of great repentance, of great knowing of his sin and coming to God and repenting of it, as we should be. He's a wonderful example that for us to truly be Christians, for us to truly show the fruit of our salvation, we have to be like David in that, and coming and repenting and turning from our sins. So our next reading, 2 Corinthians 6. Paul's second letter, well, actually, I think from the historical studies, this is actually his fourth letter to the Corinthians. It's either his third or fourth letter to the Corinthians, but it's the second one in the scripture. So 2 Corinthians 6. And working together with him, we also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as ministers of God, in much perseverance, in afflictions, in distresses, in hardships, in beatings, in imprisonments, in disturbances, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unhypocritical love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as punished and yet not put to death, as sorrowful but always rejoicing, as poor but making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has a sanctuary of God with idols? For we are a sanctuary of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Paul is very, very clear there. When he speaks of that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We are not to be unequally yoked with this world. Sorry, need some coffee here. Of course, he's not saying we're to go off in an ivory tower and hide somewhere. This world is our mission field. We are to bring the gospel to them. We are to model the gospel for them. We are to model Christ for them. But we are not to be yoked to them. We are not to be yoked to this world. And way too often across the denominations these days, you see churches constantly linked into the ungodly, constantly linked and trying to use the things of this world. And that is a no-no. That is wrong. That is not what we are called to. Paul is very clear here. All right, and our next reading is Ezekiel, as I indicated before, is Ezekiel 20. Now it happened in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the month, that some of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yahweh and sat before me. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says Lord Yahweh, do you come to inquire of me as I live, declares Lord Yahweh. I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? Make them know the abominations of their fathers, and say to them, Thus says Lord Yahweh, On the day when I chose Israel, and swore to the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them, saying, I am Yahweh your God, on that day I swore to them, to bring them out from the land of Egypt, into a land that I had selected for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. I said to them, Cast away each of you the detestable things of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your God. But they rebelled against me, and were not willing to listen to me. Each one did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I would pour out my wrath on them, to spend my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So I took them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes and made them know my judgments, which if a man does them, he will live by them. I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they rejected my judgments, which if a man does them, he will live by them, and my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said I would pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to completely destroy them. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, before whose sight I had brought them out. Also I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they rejected my judgments. And as for my statutes, they did not walk in them. They even profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart continually walked after their idols. Yet my eye had pity on them, rather than bringing them to ruin, and I did not make of them a complete destruction in the wilderness. I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, and do not keep their judgments, and do not defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh, your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. Keep my Sabbaths holy, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, nor were they careful to do my judgments, which if a man does them, he will live by them. They profaned my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them to spend my anger against them in the wilderness. But I turned back my hand and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. Also I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them among the lands, because they had not judged done my judgments, but had rejected my statutes and had profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were going after the idols of their fathers. And I also gave them statutes that were not good, and judgments by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their gifts, and that they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, so that I might make them desolate, in order that they might know that I am Yahweh. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, and say to them, thus says Lord Yahweh, yet in this your father have blasphemed me by acting unfaithfully against me. Indeed, I brought them into the land which I swore to give them, and they saw every high hill and every leafy tree. And they offered there their sacrifices, and there they gave the provocation of their offering. There also they made their soothing aroma, and there they poured out their drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is the high place to which you are going? So its name is called Bama to this day. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says Lord Yahweh, will you defile yourselves in the way of your fathers, and play the harlot after their detestable things? And when you offer your gifts, when you cause your sons to pass through the fire, you are defiling yourselves with all your idols to this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, declares Lord Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. And what comes upon your spirit will not happen when you say, we will be like the nations, like the families of the lands, to minister to wood and stone. As I live, declares Lord Yahweh, surely with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you, and I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. And there I will enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares Lord Yahweh. And I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge you from the rebels and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says Lord Yahweh, go serve everyone his idols, but after this you will surely listen to me, and my holy name you will profane no longer with your gifts and with your idols. For on my holy mountain, on the high mountain of Israel, declares Lord Yahweh, there the whole house of Israel, all of them, will serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will seek your contributions and the choicest of your gifts, with all your holy things. As a soothing aroma, I will accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered. And I will prove myself holy among you in the sight of the nations. And you will know that I am Yahweh when I bring you onto the ground of Israel, into the land which I swore to give to your fathers. And there you will remember your ways and all your deeds with which you have defiled yourselves. And you will loathe yourselves to your own faces for all the evil things that you have done. Then you will know that I am Yahweh when I have dealt with you for name's sake, for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways or according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares Lord Yahweh. Now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Teman and speak, dripping out words against the south, and prophesy against the forest land of the Negev, and say to the forest of the Negev, Hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh, Behold, I am about to kindle a fire in you, and it will consume every green tree in you, as well as every dry tree. The blazing flame will not be quenched, and the whole surface from south to north will be scorched by it, and all flesh will see that I, Yahweh, have made it burn. It shall not be quenched. Then I said, Ah, Lord Yahweh, they are saying of me, Is he not just speaking parables? All right. Psalm 66. Make a loud shout to God, all the earth. Sing praise for the glory of his name. Establish his praise as glorious. Say to God, How fearsome are your works! Because of the abundance of your strength, your enemies will cower before you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, who is fearsome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There, let us be glad in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, and make the sound of his praise heard, who establishes us among the living and does not allow our feet to stumble. For you have tested us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You established an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts with the smoke of rams. I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats. Come in here, all who fear God, and I will recount what he has done for my soul. I called out to him with my mouth, and he was exalted with my tongue. If I see wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and lead the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Amen. And that's our reading for the day. I just thought of while I was reading it, I hope it doesn't bother you if I exegete a little in between chapters when I realize there's something the chapter's saying that we really need to take in, or that can be confused, that we can misunderstand. Honestly, that may be partially for myself, because I've not preached in a while. And while I'm not verse by verse exegeting here on this podcast like I do when I preach, I do kind of feel the need to do so at times. And I feel it's critical that we truly understand what Paul is saying, like in 2 Corinthians when I did, or in 2 Samuel 13, the good example that David can be, but the bad example set there that caused all of that, and where that came from, that was the wrath of God being met out due to his sin. And because it's very, very easy in our world today for us to sit there and think, well, I'm a good person. And like I've said on this podcast before, I spent almost 40 years of my life thinking I was a good person and was driven to my knees in humility, realizing I wasn't. I was a reprehensible, disgusting sinner. Actually, I think of it, I've got a buddy of mine, and I love his email, because his email address in reference to this kind of thing is fetid pond scum. And that's how he considers himself before God. It's not that he's morbid or anything like that. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy, loves God very, very much, but has a very clear realization of the total depravity of man and of his own total depravity, and that only through the salvation of Christ and only through the work of the Holy Spirit in his life is he not that fetid pond scum anymore. Is his walk of sanctification bringing him more and more into that picture that Ephesians talks about, that it shows that positionally being saved by Christ, that we are made holy and blameless before God because we're draped in Christ's righteousness. But then the second half of Ephesians chapters 4-6 show that walk that we have to walk through, that walk we have to exhibit, that Christian walk that we have to take, that walk of sanctification, so that our actual walk resembles that place of holiness and blamelessness before God. As I've said before, we won't reach that until glorification because we are still in the fleshly body, but that is what we are called to as Christians. Thus why I kind of exposit and I'm sorry if it bugs folks, but it's what I felt led to do. And I'm not big about being feeling this and feeling that and feeling the other, but it truly is what I felt led. And I want to let you know when I do that, I'm not giving you my own opinions and interpretations. And I don't say any of this to pat myself on the back, but I've been very hard in study of the living and the dead guys, their commentaries, their study notes, so that I would truly understand what the scripture does say, not what it says to me, not what it says to somebody else, but what the scripture itself does say, so that I make sure you understand what it says, not to me, but what God said through it. So I hope it's helpful. I hope it doesn't irritate too many people, but then again, Jesus said it clearly. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And I don't say this to bring peace, but a sword. A sword that brings you to the point of humility, and a sword that you then pick up the word of God to go out and fight, to go out and fight this world and to bring the gospel. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful weekend this weekend. I guess I'm going to be tied up. I've got to go try to get a tire repaired that I think I punctured with a mesquite branch. In these subdivisions, they plant these South American mesquites instead of Arizona mesquites. And they have these huge, huge thorns. And I backed over one that I cut off my own tree. And I thought I had it out of the way, but I didn't. And I backed over it. And I think I punctured my tire. It'll hold air for a while, but then it starts bleeding it. So I'm going to need to run that down. And because my wife asked me, I'm going to be making sourdough bread and regular white bread today. So we'll see how that comes out. My last sourdough bread came out like kind of like a brick. It tasted very good, but it was kind of like a brick. So I wouldn't have wanted to throw it. I might have put somebody in a coma, but we'll see how it comes out today. But I hope you guys have a wonderful, you folks have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I would pray that you would worship God tonight, tomorrow, whenever your churches have their services with the saints, that you would get out there with the saints, you would fellowship with them, you would worship with them, and that you would truly take in the word of God, and that it would edify and equip you in those services. And that I would pray for your pastors, that they would bring you the word of God and prepare you so that you can truly walk like Christ in this world. And remember, all that you do this weekend, do for the glory of God. Thanks. God willing, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye.